Hey guys, and welcome back to the Ontario Society of Occupational Therapists New OTs on the Block podcast, a space where we discuss everything new occupational therapy graduates need to know to transition into the workforce. My name is Lindsay, and today I'm here with the amazing Andrea Duncan. Andrea Duncan is an occupational therapist with an MBA who has worked in a variety of public and private healthcare settings. You may know her through her faculty position in the Occupational Science and Occupational Therapy program at the University of Toronto. Andrea is also a PhD candidate due to complete in spring of 2020, with her research focusing on strategic business development for healthcare, healthcare market analysis, and program evaluation methodologies. Andrea is also principal managing consultant for Unicycle Consulting, in which she supports organizations with strategic business development in the healthcare industry. I'm so lucky to have had Andrea as one of my professors, so I'm very happy to have her with us today. So thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about the experience of being a new graduate and building confidence. But before we dive in, I want to start by asking what your experiences were as a new grad and how you ended up where you are today.
Oh, great question. It's a real pleasure to be part of this opportunity and a real honor to be speaking and sharing some of my experiences. I will preface sort of often new grads and OT students ask me about where I've been and how I got to where I was. And as you've mentioned, I do have an MBA, and one of the things they teach us in an MBA is to have that structured 5-year plan, and that you want to have that mapped out and clearly map that out. What I have found actually is that that's probably pretty bad advice actually. I worked for a client once doing a program evaluation, and I asked them how they developed their program and their business, and they said they used planned opportunism. And I said, yep, that's exactly the strategy about how to develop your career. And so you can have a 5-year plan, but you also, to do a proper 5-year plan, you actually need a crystal ball. And that's something we don't have. We don't always know the what the future is. And so it's really hard to clearly map that out. I think it's important to have a vision of where you think you're going and the kinds of things you want to be involved in. But I don't think I necessarily would have thought I'd be teaching at the university if I'd mapped that out. And so it was just more of a reacting to opportunities that came my way. So when I graduated, I started to think, well, what is it I do like to do? I do like business. I had always liked that. This is before I went and did my master's. I graduated at a time when I had a bachelor's of science. And so at that time, the auto sector was booming for occupational therapists. And I thought, well, that actually sounds like a nice way to work inside a private practice business and learn some business skills, as also engage in some clinical development skills. And so I ended up there and did that for a few years, and then I did go back and do a master's of business. And when I graduated from that, I ended up working at the WSIB, and part of the job at the Workplace Safety and Insurance Board was to do a little bit of teaching here in the Department of Occupational Science and Occupational Therapy. And I thought, oh, won't that be fun to work fully in one place within an insurance business and then just do a little bit of teaching on the side? And what happened over the years is I slowly found myself doing more and more and more teaching, to the point that I'm now here 75% of my time, and it took over most of my career. And then so I spend the other part of my time just working with different businesses. I realized I liked change and I liked variety, and so that allowed me to set up my own consulting practice and work with different organizations along the way. So that's kind of how I got here. So really the takeaway from that is that, you know, you can have a plan, but life will also bring you lots of opportunities as well.
That's so interesting. I feel like a lot of OTs say that they end up working in areas that they never planned on, or in school they're like, oh, I'm going to do PEDS, and then they end up doing something completely different.
Absolutely.
So that's really interesting to hear. Because you went through this big life change when you went from school to working full time, do you have any advice for all of us students who are about to do the same?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, so I want you to think of yourselves similar to how you might think about your clients when you're asking them to make a change. You know, if you're working with a client who has addiction issues and you're asking them to engage in harm reduction, or you're asking a client who has had a traumatic injury to return to the community and start engaging in their activities again, we always know that our clients demonstrate with a bit of apprehension, right? And so It's okay to remind ourselves that we're all human beings and that change is scary. And so some of you who have not yet graduated might be feeling like, oh yeah, I can't wait to graduate. But what I often hear from new grads is that moment happens and you wrap up your school, and then that first Monday morning you wake up and think, uh-oh, what is happening? What am I doing today? And it is what I want you to take away from this. That's totally okay. That feeling of nervousness, excitement, and apprehension all at once is totally normal, because you don't have a very clear path in terms of the next year. Many of you will not start working until after you've written your exam, and that's totally okay. Some of you will go traveling, and so that uh-oh moment might not happen until you've returned home. Some of you are packing up apartments and returning home. Some of you are moving in with new roommates. And so there's a lot of change going on. So the first thing I would say to yourself is go easy on yourself. Remember that in a year from now, you're not going to be in the same position. So I have a lot of new grads say to me, after they've been practicing a year, come back and say, I wish I could have gone back and told myself a year ago, just relax, it's all gonna work out. But you have to kind of go through that time of concern and apprehension.
I'm so bad at relaxing, I can't. Like, I'm originally from Vancouver and my plan is to move back, so all my plans are so up in the air. So I'm just trying to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and accepting the fact that this is a very uncertain time.
And I think that's really good advice, right? And so you do need to start engaging in a plan. So you thought about, okay, I'm moving back to Vancouver. So start looking at organizations that you might want to work at and start dusting up your resume. But that it's okay to sort of have that nervousness and concern as the plan is unfolding.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And also, I think another thing is a lot of students feel that uncertainty, but also feel that they're maybe not prepared or like don't know enough to be an OT. Mm-hmm. We've gone through the program for the last 2 years and we've learned a lot, but I just feel like there's so much to know. Do you have any advice for us to kind of get past this? I know the term imposter syndrome has kind of been thrown around. I've heard it a lot from my friends, also just being on placement. And how do you kind of build the confidence when you're a new grad and you just feel like you're just learning everything now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. I think, you know, imposter syndrome coins it really quite well, because we often feel like that in a new situation. And that voice inside us that says, I couldn't possibly do this. I'm not ready for this. You know, the people around me seem more confident and seem to know a lot more than me. And so I think the first step in overcoming that is to remind yourself that you've actually had a lot of training. We're really confident that we've given you a lot of skills, clinical skills, as well as soft skills, leadership skills, change management skills. And you have a big toolbox full of knowledge, cognitive reasoning skills available to you. And it might feel scary to use them right now, but just to remind yourself, you've actually developed quite a bit. We've also developed in you the ability to sort of self-reflect and identify, oh, there's something I don't know, and here's how I'm going to find out that new information. So if you're working with a population that maybe you haven't worked with while on field work, you have the skills to be able to go and acquire that new knowledge. I think the other thing around the imposter syndrome is to remember that everyone has it, right? So you might be feeling nervous as a new person, but even people, senior people who've had a lot of leadership experience, still get that imposter syndrome. So it's just a natural thing about being a human being.
Yeah, I know we've talked a lot about the whole faking it till you make it thing. So yeah, is that what you recommend that we do?
It's a great strategy, and it's often a colloquial sort of comment we like to throw out and say, oh, just fake it till you make it. And there is some wisdom to that. There is some practicality. However, there's also some caution around that. So it's not necessarily my favorite strategy. And I know you and I have talked about different ways to say it, sort of the face it till you make it, get up and work hard, right? And so I think the caution that we have to give you is that, you know, you are a regulated health professional, and we have a college, and the college says, actually, no, no, thank you. We don't want you faking it till you make it. In fact, we want you to be consciously competent. And if you are pretending to know things that you don't know, that's actually kind of a problem. And so I think there's a balance between that fake it till you make it and not being afraid, being so confident in yourself to say, oh, actually, here is a learning gap I have, and here's how I'm going to go about achieving that. If you're consciously incompetent in a particular activity, saying, okay, what's my plan? How am I going to actually learn and acquire those new skills? And actually, a really competent person is one who looks, and a confident person is one who says, here's an area that I actually have a learning gap. Senior leaders say that and say, well, here's an area I need help. And that's okay. That's a sign of leadership to be able to say that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to maybe fake the confidence piece. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling really confident, especially from a client perspective, you don't want to have an OT that's kind of unsure of what they're doing. But I think when it comes to the practice knowledge, it's really important to know what you're doing. And if you don't know, to seek that information out. And absolutely. To ask the questions. And
absolutely. I think you've said it perfectly. It's about, there's a softer skill. So you don't apologize to people for being a new grad. You are well-trained and you're coming with a ton of passion and skills. So you're not, you know, going and introducing to a client saying, oh, hi, here I am. I'm so sorry. I'm a new grad. You're probably not getting very good care from me. No, you're not saying that, right? It's taking a seat at the table and saying, like, I have something to contribute. But at the same time, you know, not being afraid to identify if that's actually a learning gap or just a feeling of nervousness.
Yeah. I mean, there are situations, though, where maybe as a new grad, people might question your abilities or doubt them. I know when I was on placement, I had a client who was like, how old are you? And it's just one of those things, too, where you can be as confident as you want, but then there's always going to be those people, whether they be colleagues or coworkers. So do you have any advice for dealing with those situations? Mm. Like, I was stunned. I didn't know what to say.
Sure. Great question. So I think the client one's a little bit easier because I think you can ensure that that's actually kind of a professional boundary, right? So a client asking your age is a boundary violation, a minor one, but one nonetheless. And so you can say to clients, you know what, actually this relationship's about you. So why don't we focus on how you're doing today? Like, you can always redirect clients. So it's not appropriate for clients to ask your age, the same, you know, sort of put in the same context if they asked you sort of how much you make or, you know, where, what your address is, you know, none of those things are appropriate to share with a client. So you don't need to share a client your age. However, when it's a colleague, it feels a little bit different, or if somebody in rounds says, oh, you're new, so you couldn't possibly know. Yeah. So sometimes it's about, and when it's colleagues, it's about building those relationships and weathering some of those moments where people are questioning your judgment, right? And not letting people sort of break you down. If people, you will for sure encounter people who will question your abilities or your confidence or your competence as a new grad. And you have to show them. You have to show them that you're capable. If that's a chance to present at rounds, since I'd love to actually present the newest research. I've just read an article on something. I'd love to share that next time. Being able to justify your clinical reasoning soundly, you will win people over over time. And so remembering that, you know, if you're getting those questions from teammates early on, mm-hmm. you just keep at it. Keep at it. Don't let that kind of break you a little bit. Continue to demonstrate that you actually come with a lot of skills and you've got a lot to share, a lot to contribute.
Yeah, it's hard to stand up for yourself, but I think it's definitely important in those situations and to assert yourself and say, you know what, look, I have just as much right to be here as anybody else does on the team.
Absolutely. And those are things you can practice with your peers. You can practice role playing. You can get a mentor to help you with that. I mean, I really strongly recommend as you're new in your career or any point in your career that you have a mentor, someone who challenges you along the way and says, really, is that the direction you want to go? Is that what you want to do? And helps you guide you. What about this? What about this?
That's actually really interesting. I surveyed the second year OTs across Ontario, and one of the questions was actually, how do I get a mentor? I think it would be really great. I just don't know how to go about approaching that. But I just want to let you all know that OSOT actually has a mentorship program. And so as a member, you can go on to, it's basically like a portal, and you kind of input whatever practice area you're in, whatever skills you're looking for, and it will match you with someone in your area who has volunteered to be a mentor. So in the show notes for this episode, I will link it down below, but it's definitely something worth checking out if that's something you're interested in. I know that that's something that I'm going to check out, because I think, like I said too, like in those situations where you don't know the answers, it can be really great, because a lot of times practice questions that might come up might not be clear cut or answered by a textbook. So you kind of need that person with clinical experience to bounce ideas off of. So I think that can be really valuable.
Such a great idea. Strongly recommend everybody take advantage of that.
Yeah. In class as well, Andrea, you talked a lot about, or not talked a lot about, but mentioned this book. It's called Lean In, Women Work and the Will to Lead. It was written by Sheryl Sandberg from 2013. I listened to her TED Talk actually on YouTube, and it was really interesting. It's definitely geared towards women in the workplace, but I think that a lot of the ideas from her book can be related to being a new grad. So I just wanted to ask you if you could tell us what it means to you to lean in, and how can we as new grads embrace this idea?
Amazing. It's a really great question. I know her book's a little bit older, but it still resonates. And although she does speak to women, I think it definitely speaks to a wider audience, for sure. And so I think what it means to lean in is not taking the back seat, not letting other people necessarily take your role. So the title really came from a situation in which she saw a room full of individuals come for a meeting, and then she saw a group of people who were newer to the team sit not at the table, but in chairs behind the table, and she questioned why weren't they coming and sitting at the table. And so I think really what it means to lean in is taking a seat at the table, right? So not waiting for an invitation always, and saying, actually, I do have something to contribute, and I would like to be part of this discussion. I'd like to be part of. And so that means, how do you operationalize that? It means you join committees. You don't wait. Like, so if you're new in a hospital job or new to a community, to a community practice, and there's an opportunity to be part of a committee, join it, get involved. If there is a discussion happening about a new policy or procedure that's being developed, use your voice, stand up and say, actually, here's my perspective. Especially important when that perspective might be a little bit different than the rest of the team. Now, it doesn't mean that coming in all the time and hitting people over the head with a hammer, that makes you unlikable and not enjoyable to work with. So there's a balance, and the book definitely gets into that, you want to develop these relationships, right? And so it doesn't mean coming in aggressively. And so there is a balance between leaning in but not being, rubbing everybody the wrong way. And there's a real art to that in practicing. And every situation has something a little bit different. Some organizations are a little more senior focused, shall we say, and in terms of, they recognize seniority a little bit more. So you might have to bide your time a little bit, develop those relationships. But it doesn't mean you just sit back and you wait the clock out. You still are getting involved. Other organizations really embrace that, like new voice and passion, and we'll make room for you a little faster. So it's about understanding the environment, understanding the players at the table, but still not using that as an excuse to just lean back and wait for your invitation. It does mean about sort of stepping up to the table and using your voice.
Yeah, I really like the analogy of taking your seat at the table. I think it can be really hard when you're new, because again, what you're saying, you don't want to step on toes. But at the same time, we come in as new grads and we have all this new knowledge and all this enthusiasm and passion that we have. So it's, how do you convey your ideas without stepping on toes? Because I know a lot of organizations have kind of been doing things the way they've been doing for a long time and might be resistant to change.
Sure. So I think, you have to use your assessment practices in every situation, right? So we have a process that we as OTs use with clients, and I think it's a really good process, the way we enter a situation and we assess, mm-hmm. and we kind of, make a plan and make goals and then initiate that plan. That same kind of thinking applies, like the kinds of things you would assess in terms of what are the strengths and weaknesses of what's going on in that situation. So that same way of thinking, you want to bring that same thing to a any new situation, so you understand how best to use your voice, how best to convey change. I think you use the word passion, and I think that's really an important piece. Never forget that being passionate about an issue is demonstrating leadership, being passionate about showing your passion. You should never apologize for being passionate about a particular issue. When you're passionate about something, that's contagious, and other people will see it and will give you space to talk about that, right? And so there's nothing there that you need to apologize for. Again, you still want to assess a situation. Why has something always been done one way or another? What are the enablers and barriers to preventing change? And you know, once you understand that, you can make sure that your message is heard in a right way, but really owning that passion and not being afraid to shine it is that's where I see new grads really losing their enthusiasm for a job. And that's what saddens me, is when you're new to the field and someone says, no, we're not changing, we've always done it this old way. I don't want any of you to just accept that it has to be that way. I mean, this is where change happens, is our next generation comes to the table and says, we have new ideas and ways we can do it better. And that's what we as a profession need, is the continued new voices to challenge us to, you know, to have that continuous improvement and innovation.
Yeah, we need to not get discouraged, because I think it's really easy when you get a million no's, but you just got to keep trying. And I think as well that passion you mentioned is one of our greatest values as new grads, because I think it's so easy to get fixated on what we don't know and almost feel like a burden to a team, because you're like, I have so much to learn, they have to train me, I'm so new. But I think that we do have a lot of value, and we have to let organizations know.
Right. And I think reminding yourself, right? So I hear what you say, that feeling like you're a burden to a new team, but reminding yourself that you actually bring a lot of good things as well. And so there's a healthy trade there. And so if an organization won't mind bringing you new knowledge and training you up, if you're bringing new enthusiasm, so just maintain that. And remember, if you hear a no, that's okay. That's great news, because you're one closer to a yes.
Exactly. And like, just keep trying. And that's also the face it till you make it. Like, if you fail, because we're going to, like, I know I'm going to make mistakes, but it's all about how you handle that after and trying again.
And that's not about being a new grad. I make mistakes all the time, right? It's exactly life. That's the human experience again. It's making mistakes and going, oh, well, that was a great learning experience. And how am I going to prevent, am I going to grow from that and prevent that from happening again?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Well, thank you so much, Andrea. I've learned so much, and I found this session really helpful. So I hope that everybody listening has found it helpful as well. I just want to sort of summarize what I've learned today, awesome. Because it's all been really great. And I feel like I have some really cool catchphrases. So I think the biggest one is normalizing the new, because I think like all of us are going through a big transition, and we're not doing it alone. So everyone is in the same boat, whatever you're feeling is normal, and just to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, essentially. And then also the whole faking it / facing it till you make it, and just trusting what we've learned over the past 2 years, and we know more than we think we do. We've also heard that a million times. Also to lean in and take our seat at the table. We have just as much right to sit at the table as anybody else. And also just to own our passion and not let it die and not get discouraged. And if we get no's or if we fail, to stand up and try again.
Awesome. That's a great summary of things. That's a good, really good list.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening. That's all we have for you today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and a comment. We appreciate any feedback that you have for us. I've linked OSOT's contact information, the new grad resource, as well as the Lean In book in our show notes if you're interested in more information. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.